Appreciate your presence tonight. It's good to see each and every one of you. We've been studying a series of lessons on the life of the Apostle Paul. We studied about the first missionary journey that Paul traveled, and the study is in Acts, the 13th, 14th chapter. His companions on the first journey was Barnabas and John Mark. That trip took about 4.5 years. They traveled about 1,200 to 1,300 miles on that first missionary journey. The second missionary journey that we're studying about tonight, our study will be found in Acts, the 15th chapter through the 18th chapter of Acts. And the time of this journey was about 3 years. And his companions on this second missionary journey were Silas and Timothy and Luke, the writer of the book of Acts. And the distance that they traveled was around 2,800 to 3,000 miles. And so on this second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul accomplished a great deal. Many souls were saved. And of course, it's going to take perhaps a little longer for this lesson to cover it. Paul's second missionary journey, while Paul undoubtedly enjoyed his work at Antioch, it was not long before he was ready to take another journey. He was concerned about the churches established on that first missionary journey. In Acts 15 and 36 says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing.'" And so he was concerned about the churches that he had visited before. He wanted to know how they were doing. He also had the goal of preaching Christ in places where the gospel had not yet been proclaimed. Paul begins his second missionary journey, and that will allow him to visit churches established in the first journey. And with his new traveling companions, he took Silas with him, and then Timothy, and then Luke. And this was taking him to a new continent in which he would establish new churches, experience more persecution, begin writing letters that will become part of the New Testament. As with the first missionary journey, the second journey begins in the city of Antioch in Syria in 51 AD. Paul and Barnabas separate. They traveled together on that first missionary journey, but they disagreed concerning John Mark. Mark was related to Barnabas, and Barnabas was determined that they should take John Mark with them on this second journey. But Paul insisted that he was not reliable, that he had left them at that first journey. In Acts 15, 37, 38, "Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia, had not gone with them to the work." And so Paul didn't want to take John Mark with him. And their contention required them to separate. And Acts 15, 39 says, "Then the contention became so sharp, they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus." And so Barnabas took Mark and they went to Cyprus. This is where Barnabas was from, which was visited on that first missionary journey. In Acts 4:36 says, "And Joseph, who also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus." In 13 and 4 of Acts says, "So then being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." And so Barnabas takes John Mark with him on his journey. But Paul and Silas begin their journey, Paul's second missionary journey. Paul selected Silas to accompany him on this journey. In Acts 15 and verse 40, it says, "But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God." Now Silas was one of the two men sent from Jerusalem with a letter regarding circumcision. In Acts the 15th chapter, we studied there about the elders, the apostles, and Paul. They studied about whether or not the Gentiles should keep the law of Moses. And of course, they were not to keep the law of Moses, and a letter was sent. Silas was a prophet who had stayed in Antioch. In Acts 15, verse 32, "Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words." In Acts 15, 34, it says, "However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there." And so Silas was with Paul when they took the letter to Antioch, and he decided that he would stay there in Antioch. Paul and Silas passed through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And so they traveled by land, and they went north. In Acts 15, verse 41, "And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthened the churches." And so they would go to each one of these congregations and preach to them and strengthen them and help make them stronger congregations. Paul was from Cilicia, and he had spent time preaching there. We read in Galatians 1:21, it says, "After it, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia." Paul and Silas likely delivered the letter addressed to them. And so this letter that Paul took to Antioch from the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem, it also was to the people here in Cilicia. In Acts 15, verse 23, it says, "They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings." And so no doubt they took the letter there also. Paul and Barnabas' separation was unpleasant, but eventually they were reconciled along with John Mark. And so we read where they, you might say, they made up for that problem that they had had. John Mark proved to be a faithful Christian. We notice then they went to the regions of Asia Minor in 51 AD, to Derbe and Lystra, where Paul healed a lame man, and he was stoned on his first journey there to Derbe in Acts 14, verses 6 through 20. This is where the people tried to worship Paul, calling him Mercurius. Of course, Paul rebuked them and told them not to worship him, but to worship the true God. And Paul desires Timothy to go with him. In Acts 16, verses 1 through 3, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were of Lystra and Iconium." And Paul wanted to have him to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Of course, the Gentiles were not required to be circumcised, but because they were preaching and working among the Jews, Paul thought it would be better for Timothy to be circumcised. Timothy's mother was a Jew, his father was a Greek. He had a good reputation, and Paul had him to be circumcised because of the Jews. The letter from the conference in Jerusalem was delivered in Acts 16, verses 4 and 5. "And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." And so they were those who were obeying the gospel daily, being added to the Lord's church. In Perga and Galatia, it says, "They next went throughout the region of Perga and Galatia," Acts 16 and 6. Now when they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And so the Holy Spirit was guiding them in the direction that they were to go and to preach the gospel. And they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia at this particular time. This likely included the churches in Iconium and Antioch of Pisidia. They were forbidden by the Spirit to preach the word in Asia and to head southwest toward Ephesus. And so the Holy Spirit guided them to go toward Ephesus. In Acts 16 and verse 7, it says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Then in Mysia and Troas, near Mysia, they were not permitted by the Spirit to head north toward Bithynia. In Acts 16 and 8 says, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. At Troas, Paul had a vision. Also note that Luke here in Acts, he uses the word we. I think he meant that he was traveling along with Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 16, verses 9 through 10, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so here Paul has a vision, and he sees this man crying out, come over into Macedonia and help us. Yes, he wanted the gospel to be preached there in Macedonia. And from Troas they crossed over to Mothras and then to Neapolis in Acts 16:11. Then they went to the regions of Macedonia and Achaia in year 52 and 53 AD. They went to Philippi, a chief city of Macedonia, a Roman colony, in Acts 16 and verse 12. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. And so here Paul and Silas and them, they were at Philippi. We notice here the conversion of Lydia and her household. In Acts 16, verse 13 through 15, this woman and her household was converted to Christ. We notice here in Acts 16, verse 13 through 15, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And so here by the riverside, they talked to these women, Lydia especially, a seller of purple, and she was worshiping God. But Paul preached to her, and then she was baptized. The Lord had opened her heart, and she was baptized into Christ, her and her household. In Acts 16, verse 16 through 18, it says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. This she did for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed, turned, and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Paul and Silas, because of what they did here in casting out this evil spirit out of this woman, they were beaten, and then they were put in prison. In in Acts 16:19-24. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up against them and the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. Just think here, Paul and Silas, they were beaten with rods. They were put in the inner prison where there were stocks because they had cast out that evil spirit out of this woman. We notice then while they were here in the prison, they sang praises and they prayed to God. And there was an earthquake. And then there was conversion of the jailer and his family in Acts 16:25-34. It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's chains were loosed. The keeper of the prison, waking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Paul called him with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down, trembling, before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spake the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household." And so here the jailer asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And of course, he is told to believe on the Lord, and then he preached to him about Jesus so that he could believe. And the same hour of the night, they were baptized. Then Paul and Silas were released and departed from Philippi in Acts 16:35-40. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officer saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, have thrown us into prison. Now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed, let them come themselves and get us out." And the officers told these words to the magistrates. They were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. And so here Paul was a Roman citizen, and they had taken him, they had beaten him with rods and put him in the inner prison. And he wasn't going to let them just let him leave secretly. And then they went to Thessalonica. Passing through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. In Acts 17:1, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Paul visited the synagogue and reasons with the Jews for 3 Sabbaths. It was a custom of Paul when he'd go into a city to always go into the synagogue of the Jews. He wanted to preach to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. In Acts 17:2-4, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer, rise again from the dead, and saying, 'The Jesus whom I preached to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. And so there were several here that were willing to accept the teachings of the Apostle Paul. But we notice then that unbelieving Jews gathered a mob to attack the house of Jason. They became very angry because there were some being converted by the preaching of Paul. In Acts 17, verses 5 through 9, but the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, gathering a mob and set all the city in an uproar, attacked the house of Jason, sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there be another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. And so here was a mob scene. They were accused of turning the world upside down by preaching Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Paul and Silas were sent away by the brethren because of this uproar. In Acts 17 and 10 says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And from other scriptures, we learn about Paul's stay at Thessalonica. He supported himself there while he's preaching the gospel. He was aided by the Philippians. And Philippians 4:16 tells us they had sent and helped support him. The faithfulness and love of the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of love, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. And so here Paul writing a letter to the Thessalonians, he remembered their work and their faith, their labor of love. And then they went to Berea. The Jews here in Berea were more noble, fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. We remember there's an uprising, a mob there in Thessalonica. In Acts 17, verse 11 and 12, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness, searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. And so those in Berea, they were honest and they were sincere and they searched the scriptures to find out if Paul was preaching the truth. And of course, this is what everyone should do today. Jews from Thessalonica came over to Berea and stirred up the crowds, and Paul was sent away from Berea. In Acts 17, 13 and 14th verses says, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. And so Paul had to leave. Silas and Timothy stayed here at this time. And then he goes over to Athens. Paul sends for Silas and Timothy while he was here at Athens in Acts 17, verse 15. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, and they departed. And he was moved by idolatry. Paul disputes with both Jews and Greeks here in Athens. In Acts 17, verse 16 and 17, it says, now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. And so it troubled him that there was so much idolatry in the city of Athens. Yes, there was idols, images all over the city. worshiping false gods. We notice that Paul was invited to speak at Areopagus, Acts 17, verse 18 through 21. Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine of which you speak? For you're bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new things. Yes, they wanted to hear what Paul had to say. This was new to them. And they wanted to hear something that was new, something that was different, preaching to them Jesus. We notice here Paul's sermon to these people in Athens on the unknown God. Acts 17, verse 22 through 31. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, 'We are also his offspring.' Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. He has given assurance to all to all by raising him from the dead." Some, when they heard the sermon that Paul preached here, they mocked, and others believed. In Acts 17, 32, 34 says, "And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We'll hear you again on this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed. Among them was Didymus, the Areopagus, a woman named Manus, and others with them." And so there were some here that did believe the preaching of the Apostle Paul here in Athens. And then he goes over to Corinth. He arrives there and he stays with Aquila and Priscilla. In Acts 18, verses 1 through 4, "After these things Paul departed from Athens. He went to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. He came to them, so because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." And so here at Corinth, Paul meets Aquila and Priscilla. He stays with them. Here he is a tent maker with them. Paul leaves the synagogue and he preaches next door. He leaves in Acts 18, verses 5 through 8. "And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. And when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles.' And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And so he tried in the synagogue, and then he went next door and preached Jesus. And he says, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, were baptized into Christ. Paul's vision from the Lord in Acts 18, verses 9 through 11. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak. Do not keep silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And so here the apostle and Paul and Silas stayed at Corinth, preaching the gospel of Christ. After such a long and successful stay in Corinth, Paul begins the backward leg of his journey and his return to Antioch in Syria in 54 AD. From Corinth to Ephesus, Paul joined by Aquila and Priscilla. In Acts 18, it says there in verses 18 through 20, so Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed from Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. And he had his hair cut off at Cenchreae, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue, reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent. From Ephesus, he goes to Jerusalem. Paul was anxious to go to Jerusalem, the feast of Pentecost. In Acts 18, verse 21 and 22, but he took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus, and when he had landed at Caesarea, and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. And so he tells the people, the Christians there at Ephesus, he would be back to visit with them. From Jerusalem, he goes back to Antioch. This is where his second missionary journey began, in Antioch. Yes, in conclusion, on this journey, Paul was able to encourage churches like those in Syria, Cilicia, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Established churches like those in Philippi and Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and Corinth. It was this journey that saw the beginning of long-lasting relationships. Yes, men like Silas and Timothy and Luke, Aquila and Priscilla, they worked together in the cause of Christ. On this journey, Lydia, the Philippian jailer, the Corinthians were converted, along with many others. And so many souls were saved through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Yes, Paul traveled a long distance, between 2,800 and 3,000 miles on this journey. It took him about 3 years in preaching to these different places. And so it's good for us to read and study about the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul preached Jesus, that he was the Messiah. We preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yes, to become a Christian, you must have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11, 6. You must repent of your sins. Repentance is a change of life, a change of direction, turning away from sin to God. You must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, like the Ethiopian eunuch did. And then you must be baptized, just like the Corinthians. They heard, they believed, and they were baptized. Lydia, the Lord opened her heart, and she was baptized. The jailer and his household, they were baptized the same hour of the night. Why? Because baptism is essential for salvation. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. We put him on. And then be faithful and living a Christian life, and heaven will be your home. And so if you're subject to the invitation, Jesus invites you to come. Why don't you come now and obey the gospel while we stand and sing this song?